listeners. This is me, Mikey Houlihan. Have a happy Halloween.
AM WSBC. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, personal injury attorney Jim James McGing here in Chicago, the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub here in Beverly and Bridgeport, Fox's Beverly Pizza, and that Irish whiskey Tullamore Dew. My name's Paddy Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to my left is my twin brother, Billy. Billy,
hey, what's up?
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay?
Hi.
Hello. Welcome. It's the Halloween episode. That was my son, Mikey, at the top of the show.
Beautiful.
Very sweet.
Job, Michael.
A nice little touch. That was our producer, Mark Sarkowski. Shout out to Mike. That was his idea.
I love it.
Because Mikey is such a Halloween enthusiast.
We got to give him, you know, a little airtime.
Yeah, exactly. And boy, did he go for it. I thought we were going to get something nice and sweet and cute. And we did. I think it is a nice element of both, you know?
Yeah, no, that wasn't
But also a bit disturbing.
You know what that grunt kind of sounded like?
That's what you want.
It reminded me of the scene in Spaceballs. And when they're in the, you know, when they're in the diner and the little thing comes out of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Starts dancing and the guy's like.
The guy has stomach pains and the demon jumps out of his stomach.
Yeah, and he starts dancing.
Has stomach pains and the demon comes out of his stomach.
Yes, thank you, Mr. British film enthusiast.
It was in Spaceballs.
Yeah, I want to talk Halloween. Bill veers right into Spaceballs.
That scary movie for Bill.
No, it's just that scene reminded me.
Listen, that is a scary scene in Spaceballs. I don't care. It's a comedy. Props to Mel Brooks. But that is kind of terrifying to have any sort of demon live inside you, a parasite living inside of you.
My God.
That is a demon. And that jumps around and then puts a little top hat on and dances on your chest. That'd scare you.
Yeah, that'd freak a kid out.
So, Bill, I do understand. I don't know. I don't think my son Mikey would be able to handle that scene, but he is into, you know, ghouls and zombies. He's asked me again to go. He's not relenting on his obsession with Spirit Halloween. All right? This Spirit Halloween has more YouTube ambassadors. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, if I were going to start a business today, I would blow my entire marketing budget on children.
You should franchise it.
And let them make videos about my stuff. I'd be like, come into my store for free, pick up any toy you want,
open
play
up
with
your
it,
own spirit. They can't monopolize like that. Open up your own joint. Call it Boo.
Yes. I'm going to tell my wife that tomorrow.
What if we call it Booze? And we sell liquor and costumes.
Billy.
Whoa.
Billy, now you're onto it, dude.
Bill. Whoa. Wait a second. How about this?
You just blew my mind.
They're Halloween party pop-up stores with liquor licenses.
Correct.
Where it's a constant costume party.
There you go.
And cocktail
hour.
We
could make some dough doing that.
That could get aggravating.
And we call it Booze.
It would. You know? Like, after I'd see, like, the 7th or 8th Elvira of the weekend, I'd want to kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a cult in it, all right? People are into that
stuff.
Sure, yeah.
No, combining booze with anything has to be a win-win situation.
Costumes and booze, come on, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, they really do, though. Yeah,
are you
do.
Guys going to dress up? And it only gets more sinister as you get older.
Do you dress up as on behalf of your children's feelings?
This year, Mikey asked me to dress up. He also asked my wife to dress up. In the past, we did not. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Mikey's so into it. He's like, you got to be something. Yeah. I'm going to be Vladimir Putin. I was very adamant about that.
With the mask.
Okay. I have the mask.
You're going to put a suit on?
I don't know. I thought maybe a jogging outfit would be funnier. But like, I want to be maybe laid back Putin.
Okay.
Like exercise Putin versus, you know.
Okay.
You know, it would be awesome if you can get somehow procure a Mongoose t-shirt.
Oh, my God. Folks, I don't know if you know this. If you've listened to past episodes of the show, you'll be able to know that Vladimir Putin's favorite BMX bicycle is a Mongoose.
That's correct.
And he
often
rides
it. According
to us. Well, according to the universe of this show,
yeah.
Yes, he rides his Mongoose daily around Russia.
You get a Mongoose t-shirt, be clutch.
By the way, you can go and find archives of this show if you've got a hibernianradio.org.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll all start to make sense, okay? I am excited. He's going to ask. So I'm going to be Putin for Halloween.
Okay, so we got Putin, and he's being in what now?
He's going to be Chucky. We went we went and got the Chucky costume.
And oh, wow, okay.
And your lovely wife is going to be...
My wife said she's going to be a cat or something. She's put, like, cat ears on.
So we got Putin, a cat, and Chucky walking down the street in Charlotte.
Charlotte veered.
my daughter Charlotte, folks, she wanted for a long time wanted to be what's the girl's name from Clueless? Alicia Silverstone's character.
No idea.
Forget the Cher. Thank you, Mike. She wanted to be Cher.
Okay.
All right. And it was ongoing, and she was, you know, I said, come, and they said that we went to Spirit, you know, we've been to Spirit 20 times over the season already.
Yes.
One of those times she went there and asked for the Cher costume because she thought that they had it in stock. And the guy was like, no, we do have it, but you have to order it online. We don't have it in the store. So I was being badgered to order it and order it and order it.
Uh-huh.
And I never did. You know, I'd look at the I looked at the costume. It was a little bit racy for an 11-year-old. You know, I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
She was going to do it because her friend was going to be Cher's best friend. They were going to do it like a costume thing together.
Sure.
Okay.
But then Charlotte got grounded and hadn't seen her friend in a while, and that fizzled. And I was like, what are you going to be? And then she asked me about the Cher thing again.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can get a costume on eBay. And Charlotte's like, eck, Goodwill and eBay suck. You know, like, whenever I go towards that route, right? She's like, those clothes are disgusting and diseased. I'm not wearing any of them. You know?
She makes a good point.
No, they're not.
eBay rules, dude.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out to eBay. Have hashtag eBay.
She's got a pandemic mindset.
Yeah, maybe so.
Just because someone says it's washed doesn't mean it necessarily
is. Here's the other thing. The Cher costume online was like $49. And I'm like, I can't justify $49 right now to walk around on a compromised Halloween. We don't even know what Halloween's going to look like. We still don't. Right?
Go the opposite of that.
So we veered. And she had a great idea, and we thought of it together. I credit my wife to this, though. She's going to be a Nathan Apodaca dog face.
Oh, nice.
Ooh,
from TikTok.
That is a good idea.
I said, so we're going to get her a little neck tattoo,
a bald cap,
a mustache, a gray hoodie, white shoes.
And some ocean spray.
And some ocean spray and her skateboard.
Oh, that's a great
costume. That's a good idea.
You know, I bet there's a lot of dog faces this year.
And then she could just play that song and put the phone in her pocket and have it play out loud, you know, Dreams by...
Exactly. That was that was my entire thought process, Clay.
Very
think
good!
Yeah. So I think that's what it's going to look like for Halloween for us. We're all set up.
Wow, you guys
excited.
Got some good
And folks,
costumes.
It is Halloween while you're listening right now because this show airs on Saturday night.
Right.
So happy Halloween.
What do you think Vedder is going to be?
Eddie Vedder is going to be Billy Corgan.
I heard he's going to be an angel, a really elaborate angel.
Really? Yeah, Clay, that's very possible, folks. Eddie Vedder is an angel. He could be an angel.
There's probably some guy on Halloween that's going to be so, like, banged up. He's going to be talking to himself. He's going to go in, Eddie Vedder is Corgan. Corgan is Vedder. Vedder is Corgan. Corgan is Vedder.
Then his head will explode.
His head will explode.
Like scanners.
Yeah, or he'll bite into a Twix.
He'll bite into a smashed pumpkin.
Where is this gentleman again?
Logan Square somewhere.
Some dude freaking out on Halloween.
Vedder is Corgan and Corgan is Vedder. Clay,
I did get a bit of information that Eddie has written.
The lead singer of Pearl Jam, folks. Eddie Vedder, he's a frequent member of our show.
Cubby Bear Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
he wrote a Halloween song that hasn't been released yet, but I've heard it.
Yes, and how does it go? You sung a couple of bars outside for me briefly, but it's catchy.
It goes, Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy. That's it.
That's the whole song.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Can you give me a little bit more? How does it go?
Let me warm up.
Okay.
Boo. Scared. Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy.
Wow.
That's more
those
like
are my
it.
Buddies on Halloween night.
Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy.
Everybody get a pint.
It's very
cool. You know?
It is catchy. Imagine people walking around the office or something like that. Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy. Happy Halloween, everybody. We got candy.
Those are the four superstars of Halloween.
The four superstars of Halloween? Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy.
That's the name of the song.
That is the name of the song.
The four superstars.
Interesting that you bring that up, even.
That's the name of the album.
Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy. It's interesting that you bring that up because before Mikey. So we went to Spirit. They didn't have the Chucky costume.
Spirit.
Right.
And I was like, Mikey's going to kill me. Mm, you know?
Yeah.
And Mikey could already tell, and I was very proud of how he handled the situation because I thought he was going to just blow up. You know?
Yeah.
The guy's like, as soon as I got there, the guy's like, we're out of Chucky. You know, I was like, where's Chucky? He's like,
are you a carny, sir?
Like, that's been gone. You know?
Yeah.
For this instance, he's a carny, and he talks like that. And I
said, we're out of Chucky.
And Mikey kind of looked at me confused, and he was like, what? And I was like, oh, no, they just don't have it here, Mike. We're going to go to another Spirit and find it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up to the guy, And so Mikey was kind of like, what? And we like walked around the store and I was like, see if there's anything else you like, you know? Really, there wasn't. He was heart set on Chucky, right? So I go to the girl at the counter. I'm like, hey, can you tell me what other spirit store in the area has a medium Chucky left?
Can you call every spirit in America?
Where are all the medium Chuckies? I'm having a rough day. Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy.
Michael and Jason and Chucky and Fred.
So
I call him Fred.
Yeah. For that bar, just call him Fred. It's not Freddy.
Yeah, we don't have time.
It's a pop song. Got to be quick.
Halloween's tomorrow.
I went to the woman at Spirit. I'm like, can you tell me if there's another one in the area that they have another Chucky medium? She goes, no, we don't have that. It's because we're pop-up stores. We're not that tech yet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You got to just go and look.
What do you mean? You can't call the other place for me?
No.
No, because they're, you know, they're seasonal type stores. So they're not, I mean, I don't
know. They got a phone in there, don't they?
Yeah, you could do that, but they're not going to make the extra mile to do that.
They got a computer, Google, you know, come on.
Listen, when you've been staring at an animatronic for 45 days in a row.
Yeah, you've been listening to a werewolf for 45
You're ready to just call it quits.
Yeah.
You know?
During COVID.
Right. And a guy comes in and goes, where's the Dracula costumes? You know, like, aisle five.
Then better. It's actually a great opening to a movie.
Disgruntled spirit.
It's the opening scene is the main character and he's walking into his job at a spirit.
And he starts beating up all the animatronic things with a baseball bat.
It's during COVID, and you know the election's going on, and you just can slowly
knocks the head off a vampire.
Bill, you just wrote the music video for Michael, Jason, and Chucky. And
I think that is the music video.
Thank you, Bill.
Vetter plays the attendant.
Thank you, Bill, for your free work.
Yes. There you go. So now we have the song and the video.
And then once that song drops, they're just going to play that on repeat in every spirit in America.
Mm-hmm.
So,
getting back to that.
Yes.
Mikey veers and he goes, what about Party City? You know, because he knows. Because we've been to Party City. We've been to the dollar store, anywhere that has Halloween stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We've been there to look around. So Mikey's like, they got a Chucky at Party City. We go to Party City. Two blocks away, bang, Mikey's intuition was right. They have
medium
a Chuck.
Chuck.
They have a medium Chucky.
Oh.
And I like how they do it. They keep,
one medium Charles, they, please. No, they,
yes. Do you have any child Charles killers? You mean Chucky? Yes. I meant child killer named Charles with a knife.
I'm not real familiar with it.
You mean Chucky? Yeah, we got Chucky.
Does Chucky's character, Charles, does he have an actual last name? Do we know anything about these in the Chucky movies, or has he just always been
Chucky? No, he's like my buddy or whatever.
Yes,
good guy, good guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah. Because Mikey got the costume, the Chucky doll costume.
Which is basically, is it a turtleneck or no?
It's a turtleneck with overalls, and it says good guys on the overalls.
Is he getting the red hair? He's got a red wig.
No, he has a mask. Just a Chucky mask.
Oh, geez.
He's full on Chucky.
That's pretty intense. Okay.
And he's Mikey's size, and he's got a little dagger, right? My wife's horrified by this.
Yeah.
By the way, she's not cool with it.
There'll be a lot of Chucky's on the street.
I'm like, let him. Who cares? He already knows who Chucky is. All these kids know who Chucky is. Let him be Chucky.
You know. And next year he's gonna hate.
She's like, they're homicidal sick killers. I'm like, it's just a horror movie. You know, you're thinking too hard into it now.
Next year you will never hear Chucky out of his mouth.
I respect my wife on that. I do agree with her. I would have rather had my son be something more wholesome than that.
Yeah.
But I also want him to have enjoy Halloween and make me feel like I didn't compromise it for him. So I'm like, yeah.
She doesn't get the wavelength of boys. It starts with killers, then it gets into sports, then it gets into kind of punk, you know, cast it, and then you don't care, and then it's over.
Online adult videos, and then your head explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. Trajectory of a male.
Yeah.
Trajectory of a male.
Yes.
Thank Peter South.
Okay. Pete South. Getting back to Chucky.
Yes.
We get the costume. We go home. He puts it on immediately. You know, digging it. Then a couple days go by this week. And he turns to me at one point and he goes, you know, I'm thinking about a mashup. Like, he goes, what if I wear the Chucky costume with the Freddy glove, the knife in one hand, the Freddy glove in the other, and a Jason mask instead of Freddy? And like,
and
so
you mean instead of Chucky?
Instead of Chucky. So
ooh,
he's really got the Michael Myers thing with the knife. That's yep. also Chucky. He's got the Freddy glove, he's got the Jason and the Chucky outfit.
So he's got Michael, Jason, Chucky, and Freddy.
He's got Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy.
He's a living being of my vision.
So it's amazing. He is. It's amazing that he came up with that earlier in the week. You come outside, you go, I've written a song about that Vedder sings.
What day did he come up with that?
Like 2 days ago.
Okay, because I came up with that thing that I just wrote.
Michael and Jason and Chuck and Freddy?
Probably 2 days ago, and wow. I recorded it.
There must have been something in the universe that was...
I think we're kindred spirits, me and Mikey.
Maybe. You know what else I think you guys may have done?
And Vedder.
I know why it happened.
What if me, Mikey, and Vedder have like some type of psychic
kinetic energy?
But only the three of us in the whole world.
That's a heck of an artistic trio.
It is. Listen to this. That's a heck of an artistic trio. Billy at the nursing home again.
That's right.
I do know one thing in common.
What?
That
we all love oatmeal.
Yeah, well, I know that you probably had a bowl of oatmeal, and Mikey had a bowl of oatmeal that morning, specifically McCann's Irish oatmeal. Yeah.
So
and,
did I!
And Mr. Vedder. And from that energy arose greatness. This show, folks, is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Sure is.
It's the Halloween show. More after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
Don't touch that dial. The Hoolies Hoolie returns in just a moment.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
That's Elmer Bernstein.
Aye.
Ghostbusters. That's lovely, isn't it?
It sure is.
All right, welcome back.
Is that a bassoon?
I had Mike. I don't know. Is that a bassoon?
Is that a bassoon?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bernstein, did you use a bassoon when you were composing yeah. Ghostbusters?
I'm sure he's gotten that question.
It's an amazing score.
It is an amazing score. And I was, when I took my son Mikey to Spirit, when we went to go get the Halloween costumes, we had to get like pumped up for it.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. it was actually happening. My wife was having dinner with her girlfriends and she's like, will you take these guys to Spirit? I'm like, yes.
Done.
All right, fine. This is our mission. We're going to buy the costumes right now.
Let me throw on the Ghostbusters soundtrack.
I threw on the Ghostbusters theme.
Beautiful.
Right? And I was the only one that got excited about
yeah.
it.
You know what I do? Oh, a very similar thing.
They were like, what? Big deal. I was like, what do you mean? This is great.
I do a lot of cooking in my house.
Okay.
And based on whatever, flavor of meal I'm cooking. So if I'm cooking something like Mexican food, I put on Mexican music.
Yes.
If I'm cooking Italian food, I'll put on like Dean Martin.
Okay? I like it.
And then if I'm putting, you know, something soul food or something, I'll put on something Marvin Gaye or something like that.
So if you're making some Dahmer soup, you just play Ghostbusters.
That's right.
Exactly.
I play Pantera.
It's getting a little dark around here. I had to throw the Dahmer reference in because that's real life horror.
Sure is. I mean? That was a very tragic situation.
Have you had? I was in a cemetery today.
Ooh, were you running?
No. For the our company Hibernia Media was finishing a portion of a film that we've been working on.
A horror film?
No, it's not. It's about Weeping Jim Kearns, the guy who discovered the Chicago flag and brought it here.
Sure.
An Irish-American. Great story, but there is a sequence in the film that takes place at his graveside. So we shot a little sequence there. I hadn't been on a set in a while. It was kind of nice to get back out, and mm-hmm. we all followed procedures, and we had the trailer and all that stuff. So
yeah.
It was a nice day, but I did find myself in a cemetery, right?
During Halloween season.
During Halloween season.
Yeah. Did you see anything weird?
No, I wasn't. And I did. I kind of looked around.
You want to see something weird, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. I always do.
My wife went on a cemetery walk a week ago.
Oh, at night?
No, it was in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh.
And that's kind of like, you know, there's like actors that reenact, you know, stories of the people that are buried in that
right.
certain graveyard.
Right. Interesting. I don't know if I would like that as a family member. Of,
right.
of the deceased person, be like, I don't want some, you know, acting dropout
portraying right, like some
my
guy,
uncle.
Well, we were at Mount Carmel Cemetery.
I was a lawyer in the
40s. Right. What are you doing today? I'm playing Al Capone over at the cemetery again.
Yeah.
You know, at Mount Carmel, you know.
Yeah. There's probably a guy out there that's done that gig.
Yeah, he's walking around the baseball pit. Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Right out of the Untouchables. Everyone's sitting there going, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an odd job for an actor. Typically a community theater member, I think, probably veers more towards those gigs.
Yeah.
But I did walk around the cemetery, and I do feel like there's been a Halloween kind of element. And then I had a weird dream.
Ooh.
I've been having weird dreams because I went home in the afternoon. I was like, I'm going to take a nap. I need a nap. It was an early shoot. We were on set at like 6:30, 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And we were done pretty early, done by noon. But I wanted to go home and take a nap, and I took a nap and had just the most bizarre dreams. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do with the season, right?
Yeah.
Was Freddie around?
Freddie wasn't in it. It was weird. And this dream makes no sense, all right?
Sure.
I'm in a bar in Beverly on the south side.
Okay.
And I never hung out in Beverly much, but I'm there with a lot of the guys that I went to high school with, right? A lot of guys I went to Carmel with.
Okay.
One of those guys has a drinking party, and for some odd reason, I have had a full football uniform on the entire time in my dream.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Nobody else does. Nobody else. Yeah, I have a helmet and shoulder pads. Everything.
Wait, you're wearing like your Mount Carmel uniform?
It wasn't a Mount Carmel. It was a powder blue uniform, which I don't know what that symbolizes.
Julia Catholic uniform.
Maybe. I don't know. But I'm walking around
Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Maybe you went to the next level.
I don't know. In the dream, I'm wearing the football uniform, and I'm at the bars with these guys, and we go back to some dude's house. And we're in the basement, and the basement, the ceiling just started getting smaller and smaller.
That's Freddy-ish.
Right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, everybody else was getting squished, but I didn't die because I had, like, the football.
You had the pants on. Yeah, you're good to go. Yeah.
But I was stuck. You know? It was just weird, man. I can't explain what it meant.
Okay.
But I woke up, and then I'm like, I got the show tonight. What am I going to talk about on the show? And it's all Halloween, you know, mostly related. And I don't know what that dream means, but it's kind of a nightmare. I would classify that as a nightmare.
She just said,
yeah.
That's Krueger. That's Freddy.
Yeah, that's our Freddy.
I like that you had that queued up.
Yeah. No, I always have that ready on my phone. In case I got to put out the tell him Freddy sent you quote in the dry cleaners.
Guys, it's totally pissing me off. Hold on.
Yep. Yeah. Tell him Freddy sent you. That'd be better if his voice was like that.
Well, was he agitated? What did his hand motions look like? Did you tell him Freddy sent him?
Oh, my God. Where is this show gone? Has anyone else had any weird Halloween dreams? Are you worried? I mean, it's, you know, we've got the election coming up. We've got all this, you know, turbulence in the news and media and in the streets and COVID. And
it's weird because, you know, going back into like phase one where we're at right now here in Illinois, and then Halloween, and uncertainty with the election, uncertainty with what's going on within the pandemic. It's just all around creepy. Yeah. And I think everyone feels that way in a weird sense.
There's only one thing that is certain. Billy's going to have a lot of candy on Halloween.
We know this.
Bought two bags of Twix and a bag of Snickers.
For yourself.
Yeah. Fun. We'll see.
Not even to pass out.
I don't think we're going to get any trick-or-treaters.
My wife bought two big bags of candy like 3 weeks ago for Halloween, and they're both gone.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, they were I think I got mine 3 for $8.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to lie to you. I went through 4 bags about 2 weeks before that where I saw a special on it. Yeah. But
it's your time to shine. This is your season.
No, I usually buy a bag of cookies at Jewel or something like that, you know, and I'll get some, you know, I was dipping heavy into the ice cream bars this summer. And I figured,
Billy's retirement home story.
Billy's candy retirement home story.
Can we get some, like, old 40s music over this? Some ragtime?
Some scary ragtime. Then I figured
so such a thing.
Move to the candy bars. Was that a big Kit Kat kick? No, I'm a Twix man.
I was in a grunge band, but now we're going to try this new scary ragtime thing.
Well, Bill, it is the season for candy.
It is. Thanks. And there's nothing better than a Twix when it's right out of the refrigerator, just like a Kit Kat.
Be careful if you have caps in your teeth, because they'll pop right out.
By the way, Mars, if you're looking for anyone to do any selling for you, please give me a call.
Patty.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about how Steve Harvey moonlights as a motocross champion.
We did.
You were talking previously about how on Family Feud there was a family with a little person and Steve Harvey was hitting on the little person.
I did.
And then the voice that you used as Steve Harvey's voice was David from Clear Choice. He's like, gorgeous, gorgeous. And I heard it, and I thought to myself, ain't that something?
Same guy. I love it. Thank you for dropping in a David from Clear Choice reference.
Very welcome. I just wanted to make sure you were aware.
How do you be David from Clear Choice for Halloween?
Find his picture somewhere.
Do you just get big fake white teeth and
you can pull that
a
off.
Red shirt?
You need like a pinky ring? Yeah,
and
beautiful
smile
teeth.
You go trick or treat, you go gorgeous.
It starts with beautiful teeth.
Just find a Clear Choice ad.
It does, Clay. You're right. The costume starts with beautiful teeth. And that's what David would tell you.
I'm pretty sure he had like a gold chain.
Yeah.
Just the same way that your Putin costume is. You just find a picture of him and like that, and you get it cut out and blown up. And probably cost you about 25 bucks.
You could
bucks.
Do it that, or
Ooh,
if you really want to.
That's a great idea, Bill. Great idea.
If you want to get really in depth, you find out what casino he works at. You get a shirt from there, and then a name tag that says David.
And now, I mean, that's like, wow.
That's award winning.
It is. If I saw a guy walk into a costume party, I'd
shake his hand. I wouldn't care about COVID.
I'd be like, that's it. My night's complete. Thank you.
I'd take my mask right off and kiss him right on the lips.
Well, I remember it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for making my Halloween. David from Clear Choice. You know what's ironic about
you? I know who you are.
You know what's ironic about your new teeth? You got nice breath, too, now.
It's not really him.
You sexy animal.
It's not really him.
Doesn't matter. You represent everything David Clear Choice is.
You represent everything David stands for. I respect that.
And I love that.
I love you for that.
Don't tell my wife. I got chili in the kitchen.
Don't tell my wife I'm here.
I love your David from Clear Choice.
There will be zero people dressed as David from Clear Choice. That's Halloween.
I'm starting to seriously think about it now.
I wonder what he'll dress as. He's like, I'm not dressing up this year. he's a real pain.
Listen, when I had my old teeth, I was scary enough for 20 decades. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm taking a night off.
They snapped off when I was eating a piece of candy, so be careful about
the candy. If he was smart, he'd be working.
Right. Yeah.
It is this, you know, we've got the election coming up. There's been some big revelations, about Tony Bobulinski and the whole Biden campaign and all. I mean, I can't dismiss what's going on in the media.
Sure.
But there is a sense, and what I was getting back to is that election day is more, it feels like doomsday, right?
Oh, yeah. Because it's coming from all angles.
Well, because people are, we're such a divided country that people are, you know, preparing for the doom. You know, yes. or the elation, right? But we know that one half is not going to be happy. And I guess that's the point of it that's sad, really, that it's like that divided, that it's going to... And that's the paranoia, I think, that's causing me to have dreams where I'm wearing football uniforms and being crushed in basements.
Yeah, it's going to... Could be, yeah. You're going to hear a lot of smut in the next week, a lot of crazy allegations. I mean, some maybe have base to them, some may not.
Yeah, the bombs are definitely going to start flying. In the last gas here, we've only got a few days to go and hold
Just
on
remember
to your
that
seat.
Yeah, there's 250,000 less people in America than there were 6 months ago.
Yeah,
so that's crazy.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Just be glad you're alive. Is what I'm
saying.
Are
you going to dress up for Halloween?
I'm going to dress down.
How so?
Putting on sweatpants.
Okay. Bill, have you been encouraged?
No, we don't know what we're doing.
I haven't been
yet.
Asked by any of my kids. I don't think they assume.
Are you going to take them trick-or-treating? Are they going to go out?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the rules are.
That's kind of what that's where I'm in limbo, too, and I'm a little bit nervous for my kids where all of a sudden, what if on Halloween, Governor Pritzker is like, no, nobody go out trick-or-treating.
I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be like throwing candy at kids from like their steps, being like, here, don't come near my house.
Like a small little Halloween parade where everyone is 6 to 10 feet apart and people just throw candy from their front porch. That'd be kind of cool, but I don't think it'll happen.
Who knows? We'll see. It's going to be interesting. I'm concerned for Halloween.
It's a time
for... The country? Who cares? What about Halloween?
It's a time for innovation. Find a new way to distribute candy.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Have you guys already pre-voted? Did you vote yet, Bill? I did not get
the chance to do it.
Bill,
no.
I told you Billy wouldn't
No,
do
I
it.
Didn't get the chance to do it yet.
I did it. It's over. We'll see what happens.
I want to do it.
My polling place is literally like 100 feet from where I live.
Yeah.
Which is
it's
nice.
It's too far.
So. What do you think? Is the president dressing up for Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
What does Trump be for Halloween?
He's going to put on devil horns. Walk out and give a speech.
Already some people picture him that way.
Yeah.
What if he came out dressed as Putin? Could he get away with something like that?
That could cause a serious problem, I think.
That could cause a big
problem.
What
is that, Mike? It's a shoot, a candy shoot for Halloween, it is a thing.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, that is cool.
What's that, like 17 toilet paper rolls taped together?
That's kind of what it looks like, a piece of PVC piping.
It's got a flange on the end of there.
That they went out with and they
don't
put
forget to put the flange on the end there, Debbie. You don't want any accidents.
I'm just, the concept of that seems like the kid's still going to stick its hand in the pumpkin mouth or hole that the chute comes out of, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's going to be weird.
It'll backfire.
You know, watching nervous mothers, you know, don't put your hand in that hole! Don't put your hand in that hole! They're just screaming that throughout the neighborhood for Halloween.
What did you do on Halloween? Oh, watch nervous mothers mostly.
Right.
Do you remember getting chased down?
Jason and Freddy and Chucky and Michael.
Do you remember trick-or-treating and
Michael and Jason and Chucky and Freddy?
Yeah, getting chased down by the lady, like that one year when...
I do.
So people, you know, we weren't the nicest children sometimes.
No.
But people would put bowls out in front of their front porch with, you know, the candy, and they'd be like, you know, take one, please, right? Mm-hmm. You honestly think that, you know, five Irish kids from... you know, our grammar school or from the ages of like 10 and 12 years old are going to abide by those rules, or they're just going to dump the whole bowl between all of their four or five bags.
No, they'll be jerks.
Yeah, exactly. And we did it to, I think subconsciously we did it just because we were animals. Like,
yeah, I don't think it was a malicious thing. We just saw it and we're like, what's this? This must be for all of us.
I remember my mom was, you know, she was like taking us from one end of the town to the other end of the town. And, you know, she'd sit in the car, walk down the block while we'd be doing our shenanigans, but she didn't see all of it. You know what I mean? And I'll never forget, we were at a stoplight after we had gotten picked up, finishing one round of the town. And there's a woman laying on her horn behind my mom's car.
Yeah.
And like, she eventually like gets out of her car and my mom's like, excuse me, miss, what's the problem? Obviously my mom's got, you know, five juvenile delinquents in her car, not realizing that this woman's candy for all that she wanted to pass out.
Yeah, she
out
was livid. But what kind of a psycho gets in her car and chases the mom down?
Yeah.
What was she going to get out of that? You know, she was like, I want you to know your son's just stole all the bubbly gum.
And I think mom was like, did you guys take that candy? And we were all like, we may have. I don't know.
No, we lied. We're like, no. Yeah. Never.
But yeah, those are the kind of things. That was a lesson that I learned later, and I was like, God, that was bad to do.
Well, I think it's just going to be there's going to be two kinds of Halloween goers this year, right? There's going to be the people that still want to bring their kids out because they don't want to, you know, ruin Halloween for them. But they're going to be very apprehensive about how candy's distributed. And then you're going to have the other people that are going to be very sort of, they're going to mask up, you know?
Yeah.
But they're still going to be 6 feet apart and they're going to be cocktailing on their lawn and they're going to be letting their kids run wild. And sure. So there's going to be a rift between those two people. And that's why I think any sort of altercations that could arise out of that kind of ruin Halloween entirely for the kid.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's that's a nightmare. Watching two parents argue with each other over how the kid's Hershey bar gets distributed to them. That's nuts. So all you can do is just say Serenity Now or you know, Michael and Jason and Freddie and Juggy. Michael and
all
Jason.
The crazies will come out on Halloween.
That's right.
Or I'm calling my Advocaca.
Yes.
You could call your Advocaca.
Well, if I pronounced that correctly. Now, Mike, I know that you're Polish.
He looks at Mike. Everyone's listener is like, what?
Explain what's
folks,
happening.
Folks, outside of our studio, there is an attorney next door, and we're on Milwaukee Avenue. Her business is aimed at the Polish American community.
Correct.
And it says Kancelaria Adwokaka. I think I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. Maybe not.
But Mike's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm like, bro, I feel really stupid.
It
right
has
now.
Been a running joke all day with us that if you're in trouble, you need to call your Adwokaka.
Correct.
And I believe Eddie Vedder has a very good Adwokaka, Clay.
You need a good Advocaca to get things done.
Well, when he copyrighted Michael, Jason, and Freddie and Chucky, he had to call his Advocaca.
He's got several.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my Advocaca?
I find the word so amusing.
But you, Bill, you just wanted to drop the word.
I wanted to say Advocaca so bad.
Well, now that our listeners know.
Yeah, I think it's Polish for an attorney, but I'm not positive.
Council.
We don't do a lot of research before we
we
get
do
on
don't
this.
Do any research.
Yeah.
On that note, I think we should take a break. Hooli's Hooli returns after these.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller and McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the Southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hang in there! We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned!
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party.
With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Harry, do you believe in God?
Never met him.
Yeah, well, I do. And I love Jesus' style, you know.
This roof cap is made of a magnesium tungsten alloy.
What are you so involved with that?
These are the blueprints for the structural ironwork in Dana Barrett's apartment building, and they're very, very strange.
Hey, Ray, do you remember something in the Bible about the last days when the dead would rise from the grave?
I remember Revelation 7:12. And I looked as he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood.
And the seas boiled, and the skies fell.
Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
Every ancient religion has its own myth about the end of the world.
Myth? Ray, has it ever occurred to you that maybe the reason we've been so busy lately is because the dead have been rising from the grave?
How about a little music?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, my favorite scene. I wanted to play it because...
Sure, why not? It's an awesome scene.
I feel like that's we're at that point right now, right before the election where, you know...
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that I went to Catholic school as a kid? I've never looked up Revelation 7:12, and it's been it's been in my head since childhood. That's if anyone said, "Do you know Revelation 7?" If any Bible thumper ever came to me and said, "Do you know Revelations?" I might say, "Well, I know Revelation 7:12," you know, and then go into the Acolyte speech, which probably is complete fiction.
I don't know. I'm gonna look it up.
But it works, right? And it's been ingrained in all of us for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to the ghost. This is kind of a Ghostbusters theme tonight.
Sure. Revelation 7:12 has nothing to do with the end of the world.
Did you just look it up?
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Also, for our listeners, before the break, we went on a tangent about Cancelleria Avukaka, which means I looked it up, folks. It means Office of Attorney, and it's Polish. So there you go. So great. Happy Halloween. Hopefully you don't have to go to your Cancelleria Avukaka if you
egg someone's house.
If you stay on your best behavior.
Right.
I have been reading more about, apparently in Hollywood, Heidi Klum has the best Halloween party, although it's been canceled this year.
Oh, really?
And this is from Too Much Zuck, folks, TMZ. Mm-hmm. Heidi Klum's streak of owning Halloween is sadly coming to an end, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy some of her best work over the past two decades. And her costumes, boy, are they detailed. She was Shrek one year. And then she, look at this gory thing she was. She's,
wow.
Yes, the pandemic shutdown in the U.S. of A. I like how they spelled that, like it's Heidi Klum saying that.
Oh,
in the U.S. of A. Has unfortunately reached its seventh month, but who's counting? And that means the shutdown has wiped off the supermodel's 21st Halloween bash. Horrible, yes, but no need to be too terrified because, well, they have a fun gallery. So, folks, if you want to go to Too Much Zuck, you can find that. Here's what she said her goriest costume yet was. Her mashup of alien and robot with faux guts and exposed brains required 12 hours of work to get it done. Can you imagine sitting in a chair for 12 hours for your Halloween party?
No.
That's nuts.
Does Seal do that too?
I was going to wonder if Seal was actually a seal. What if
that would be amazing.
If he just started clapping, like if he got it, like he had a became a prosthetic seal
for Halloween?
Right.
Does he still sing Kiss from a Rose? As
absolutely,
the seal?
But he's a seal.
Wow.
Seal is seal for Halloween. Seal is going to be a seal.
That'd be funny if a guy.
Kiss from a hose.
Kiss from a hose?
Like they give the seals water from a hose.
Right. Heidi's got a hose in her hand. I've been kissed by a rose by a hose.
Wow. It would be a good costume, though, if you had a stuffed like animal costume type thing, or if you could be a seal and then you just walked around with a jukebox playing seal music.
Great idea. Another great costume idea we've got.
You should be Seal Bill. That'd be an amazing costume for you. Not as Seal, the animal, the singer.
You could just be Seal?
Yeah, just be Seal.
Well, you can be both. Man, you can dress up like the fish, a seal. A seal's not a fish, though, is it?
Not. No, it's not.
It's called Chicago construction worker. Seals are fish. Yeah. No, they're not, sir.
They're edible, too.
You could feasibly be a seal animal and play seal music on a boombox, and everyone would get the joke.
Yeah.
Kind of like the guys in college. I think Terry Gillespie, our old roommate, one year, you know, Halloween was big in college. You know?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to get dressed up and get drunk and, you know, make some bad decisions, right?
Uh-huh.
But his one year, he was like, he went and got like a bunch of like mini cereal boxes.
It's a great costume.
All right. And tape, and he had it all black on, and he taped the cereal boxes to his garments, right?
Yeah.
And then put fake blood on the cereal boxes and stuck the cereal boxes with plastic knives.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, he's like, oh, I'm a cereal killer.
It's a play on words, we call it.
You know, a pun. You know,
it was a great costume, I thought.
You got any good pun costumes? Not
no.
Big pun. You know, we're not going to ask you to be Big Pun, but although that someone's been him as well.
Somebody's been Big Pun. Somebody's also been Fat Joe. And, you know, I used to get those guys mixed up a lot.
Big Me pun. Too. Someone was Joe. Probably Fat Joe, but thought they were being Big Pun.
For Halloween?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you know how many times a guy's like, what are you, Fat Joe? He's like, no, I'm Big Pun.
Happens every day. Bill,
I hate when that happens.
Bill, happens every day.
I'm sure it does. And then, you know, a fight ensues and you got to call your advocaca.
Yeah, before you know it, you're in your advocaca's office.
Clay, you've talked about this on the past before. Do you know what Nexium cult is? Have you read about this Keith Raniere
Nexium,
guy?
Nexium, isn't that the heartburn medication?
Maybium.
Maybium. You're inventing your own language, you psycho.
Oh, man, I need some Maybium.
Mr. Vetter, are you ready to go out and perform? Maybium. Maybium.
Maybium.
Maybium. Maybium sounds like someone's name, doesn't it?
Maybium.
Touchdown, like Maybium Johnson.
It's like a southern girl's name. Maybium, get inside. Right. It's dangerous out
here. There's a guy who played for the Cubs, Cameron Maybin.
Oh, yeah.
No,
but we were
Maybium.
Talking about Maybium, not Maybium.
I got
Maybium,
it.
Come Maybium, inside. Maybium. There's lightning out here.
Yeah.
Keith Raniere, the leader of NXIVM, a sex cult operating
yeah,
under the...
Yeah, is that the guy he made, like, you had to carve his name into it?
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
There's a series on HBO my wife and I have started called The Vow.
Yes.
All about this.
And?
It's intense.
Hmm.
Well, he got 60... The judge sentenced 60-year-old Raniere to 120 years in prison Tuesday in Brooklyn Federal Court. His sentencing came after 15 former NXIVM, and I've been watching the series and I still don't know, members confronted him over the physical and emotional abuse he endured under his guidance in the cult. I've been watching some of that. Raniere, known as Vanguard, he called himself Vanguard.
Mm. Oh.
Call me Vanguard.
Yeah.
To his followers, the subject of his HBO series, The Vow, was arrested in March 2018 for sex trafficking, but was still relatively flying under the radar until it came out that Smallville actress Allison Mack was linked to him in the cult.
Yeah.
She was arrested the next month.
Is she doing life?
I don't know. I'm looking.
Give her life.
Mack allegedly served as Raniere's accomplice in forming the DOS group in NXIVM, which manipulated women into being branded above their pubic regions with his initials.
That's no,
wow,
no
that's
fun.
Sick.
Raniere was convicted of wire fart conspiracy, sex trafficking. Wire fart conspiracy.
He farted on a wire, which is extremely illegal.
Mr. Raniere was convicted of wire fart conspiracy. Sex trafficking conspiracy, forced labor conspiracy, and four other charges for his role as leader of the cult for 2 decades.
Yeah, he's in big trouble.
Allison Mack pled guilty in her case to racketeering conspiracy.
She'll get 25.
And racketeering in April of 2019. She's awaiting sentencing. She's facing up to 40 years in prison.
Wow.
Give her 40.
She, listen, give her 40.
She'd be a great judge.
She said at the time of her guilty plea, "I must take full responsibility for my conduct. I'm very sorry for my role in this case. I'm very sorry to my family and to the good people I hurt and my misguided adherence to Keith Raniere's teachings."
Teachings?
That's a Halloween
nightmare. That's spooky.
That's a Halloween nightmare for you. That's spooky.
Yeah, he's about to go to one of the scariest places on Earth for the next 120 years.
Well, when you start watching this show, The Vow, you start to understand that, like, this guy portrays himself as a genius. And in fact, he's incredibly bright, right? The most kind of dangerous psychopath.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see how enchanting he was to these people from a self-help guru kind of standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But he started integrating weird things into the practice.
Like, you know, Teddy K. He was real smart.
Who's Teddy K?
Kaczynski.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, I mean, no joke. I mean, I don't know how smart Koresh was. We didn't, but
smart enough to make people believe him.
These cult leaders, but like, anyway, when you watch.
Anybody ever get David Koresh's SAT score?
He got a 990. Yeah. He got into the University of Texas.
Who are you guys?
I'm a detective from Cicero.
Okay, Sergeant Cicero.
Dante Cicero.
Yeah, but it's evident when you watch this thing how he was able to get these people to commit and start doing this stuff. And that's the truly frightening thing. Only from, you know, especially I've been trying to do a lot of that kind of stuff, self-help for my stuff. So I think that people that are trying to better themselves are often in very vulnerable positions. And that's the terrifying fact of being able to watch a guy like this lure them in and then essentially take their brains over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a frightening little tale. But my thought was, with this sentencing, when I saw this today, 120 years for this guy, that's not going to stop him from going into a prison. What if he starts converting? Like, are those guys allowed to, like, preach their stuff in prison still? You know, like, can they convert all these other guys in prison to all of a sudden, you know, rally and self-help and sort of buy into his stuff?
No.
Like, can you imagine? Now, there's a psychological thriller of a film. A guy like that who it gets into a prison and slowly manipulates into the minds of all the guards. He tricks them into self-help. He tricks all the prisoners into self-help. And all of a sudden, he slowly starts to rule the prison through mind games.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then he jumps out. And he makes a video with Eddie Vedder called Jason and Freddy and Michael and Chucky.
And
he
becomes a successful producer. He's standing on a mountain with the White Walkers from Game of Thrones behind him.
Thank you, Bill.
And DJ Khalid.
DJ Khalid in there.
And DJ Khalid and Little Joe and Big Pun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. It's getting towards the end of this episode, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Folks, if you've enjoyed it, you can find archived episodes if you go to hibernianradio.org.
Yep.
Or you can search for us on iTunes there if you go to Hooli's Hooli Show. I do want to thank our sponsors again. McCann's Irish Oatmeal, personal injury attorney Jim McGing here in Chicago, the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub in Beverly and Bridgeport, Fox's Beverly Pizza out in Beverly, and Tullamore Dew. Until Clay, anything to say in the final words?
Good luck, everyone.
Good luck. We'll see you. We're going to see you after the election.
Yeah, there'll be a new president.
We'll have a new president.
Maybe. I don't know.
Mr. Trump will still be our president.
Or they're going to be counting votes for the next month.
That's a very, very valid, very valid thing. Who knows? Until then, happy Halloween.
Eat your oatmeal.
Bye.
Sparks fly from her fingertips. Echoed voices in the night. She's a restless spirit on an endless flight. Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, witchy woman. Crazy land. yourself to madness.